The woman came to the well at noon. That means she comes to the well knowing that nobody would be there. Noontime is the hottest time of the day, and everyone would be taking refuge in their homes. The woman was shunned by her own people. Now, I think it would be good to know that she's a Samaritan and to have a little of a historical background here. You see, after King Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem in the south, he died and his kingdom was divided into two parts. The northern part called Israel and the southern part called Judah. And in the country of Judah, there were only two tribes out of the 12. The tribe of Judah, from which Saint Joseph came from, and of course from which Jesus would come from, and the tribe of Benjamin. Those are the two tribes that would form the country in the south. And the temple is in the south. In the north is called Israel. The other 10 tribes occupied there. Because the temple, magnificent temple that was built by King Solomon, started with King David, was in the south. The northern people would have to, at least once a year, go down to the south to go to the temple. Or, as you remember, the law requires, if you have a firstborn son, you have to go to the temple to redeem the child. So, a lot of movement from the north to the south. So the government, the kings of the north, was thinking to themselves, this is not good to have our citizens move, have to travel down to the southern country of Judah for their religious duties. And so to resolve that problem in their mind, they started to build shrines all over the north so that the people, out of convenience, no longer have to go down to the south, and out of political reason, no longer travel, stay within the northern country. So pretty soon you have this intermarrying of the people that are not Jewish. And then you have, when you have intermarriage, then you begin to have shrines of other gods being built all around the country. The bottom line is, pretty soon, the country of the north, Israel, became assimilated to the people living in that region, and they came to worship many gods. After many generations, they came to worship many gods, and in fact, the 10 tribes disappeared because they just assimilated into the people living there, and those folks came to be known as the Samaritans. Okay, now you have the history. So the Samaritans, generations before, were part of the Jewish people, the chosen people of God. Now they kind of assimilated into the people that are not Jewish. And so they worship many different things, including the God of their forefathers, Abraham. And for this reason, the people in the south avoid the Samaritans. Because remember, the laws of Moses require them to be pure. You don't touch things that are impure. So if you have the Samaritans, if you share food with them, well, they may eat food that are impure. They may touch the silverwares and, you know, the utensils, and then you become impure. So the Jewish people in the south, the remaining two tribes, would avoid having anything to do with the Samaritans out of religious necessity to remain within the laws of Moses, you see. So the woman, a Samaritan, sitting at the well, came to the well, seeing Jesus, a Jew, sitting there. And Jesus talked to her and said, give me a drink, meaning, I don't have anything. You got to use your bucket. You got to give me a little water from this well, and I will touch your utensils, and I will drink your water. And the woman was shocked. How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Now you have the context, you see. So this woman, having experience as a Samaritan, being shunned by the Jewish people, right now experiencing a good man. So in her heart, wow, I just met a real good man. He's not like the other Jews. He's not shunning me. He's willing to touch my utensils. He even asked me for me to help him with the water. And pretty soon the woman acknowledged that he is a prophet. And pretty soon she acknowledges that he is the Messiah. And then she went to the town from whom, oh yes, and of course she was shunned by her own people. So here's a woman as a Samaritan experienced being shunned by other people, and she's also being shunned by her own Samaritan people because she comes to the well at noontime to avoid everyone else. And then we come to learn why she is being shunned by her own people when the Lord Jesus said, go bring your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And the Lord Jesus said, you had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. And that's where she admitted, wow, you are a prophet. So now we have the woman who is shunned by her own people, having an encounter with the Lord Jesus and being transformed. Her transformation take the form of her leaving the well and leaving her bucket at the well, going back into the town who's shunning her, and say to the town, I have found the Messiah. The church wants for us in this week of Lent, the third week of Lent, to hear the story of the encounter of this Samaritan woman with Jesus at the well, so that we too, hopefully, the church prays, that we will have the same kind of transformation in our heart and in our soul throughout these days of Lent, that we will recognize in Jesus the man he is, the prophet that he is, the Messiah that he is, the Savior of the world that he is. So here are the couple reflections for us to keep in our heart for this week of Lent. The first having to do with the woman saying to the people, I have found the man who knows everything about me. In other words, he is saying to the town, he's proclaiming to everyone, I have found a man who knows everything I did, and yet does not shun me. And this is the revelation about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because my brothers and sisters, all of us have done things. All of us had thought things. All of us have things to be ashamed of. Every one of us, and thank God, nobody knows except God himself. But the good news here is that even though God knows everything about us, all the shameful things in our lives that nobody knows, but God knows them all, God does not shun us. That's the good news. Because the devil, my brothers and sisters, tells us otherwise. The devil tells us things like, don't be hypocrites. Why are you praying now? Why do you go to church now? Why do you act all pious? Because in your past, you have done terrible things. Nobody else knows. God knows and the devil knows. In your past, you have made huge mistakes. In your past, you have thought terrible thoughts. Do you think you're innocent? You're not. I know who you are. So why are you praying now? Why do you go to church now? Why do you act all pious now? You hypocrites. That's what the devil does. And the devil say, you are unworthy. You are unworthy of God. You're unworthy of God's love. You're unworthy of God's forgiveness. Just look at the shameful things you have done in your lives that kept in secret in your heart. Forget it. Give it up. The good news today we hear about the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the prophet, the Savior of the world, is that, yes, God knows all about every one of us. God knows the good, the bad, the ugly in all of us. But God does not shun us. And that's the good news that the woman went back to the town to proclaim. Here is a man who knows everything about me and yet does not shun me. He must be the anointed one of God. The second reflection that we may have for this third week having to do with the Lord Jesus teaching us, teaching the woman what to ask for. You see, the Lord Jesus knew the situation of the woman. He didn't say to the woman, ask me for a better life. Why don't you? Ask me for a better life. He didn't tell the woman to ask that. He didn't tell the woman, ask me for a better man. Because obviously, you had five men that rejected you, and now you have another man who's using you, or you using him. Doesn't make a difference. You're using each other. It's not a good situation. Ask me for a better man. He didn't tell her to do that. Why don't you ask me so that I'll make it that people won't shun you anymore, so that your own people will accept you? Ask me for that. No. What did the Lord Jesus teach her to ask? And in the same vein, teaching all of us to ask. He said, why don't you ask me for living water? The kind of water that is not like the water from this well. When you drink, you will keep being thirsty. The water I give is the water of eternal life. Why don't you ask me for that water? My brothers and sisters, in our lives, we ask God for many things. And it's understandable because we have many needs as we live life here on earth. But the Lord Jesus today in the gospel, through this encounter, teaching us the one thing that is most important for us to ask of Him. And so during this week of Lent, let us, it'll be a good exercise, spiritual exercise, huh? Every day. Every day when you pray, just remember, God knows everything about you. The good, the bad, the ugly. And yet He's saying, ask me for the water that gives eternal life. And so let us begin praying this way. I mean, there's many needs. We all do, and that's fine. But make sure this week we include this prayer, huh? That we say, Sir, give me this living water.